Turn, please, to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Verse 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy, his grace, his loving kindness, endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us together. Deliver us from the heathen. That is those around us. That we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen. Praise the Lord. Now it's that little expression we have in verse 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Now just get the scriptures before us, you can ponder them at your leisure. 13, 2 Chronicles 5 and 13. It came even to pass as that trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lift up their voice to the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praise the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. 7th chapter, please, and verse 1. When Solomon made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house, and the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory that filled the house of the Lord. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Jeremiah chapter 33. I'm not speaking in detail in those scriptures, but I simply bring them up for us, for express purpose. 33rd chapter of Jeremiah. Verse 11, for brevity's sake. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that say, Praise the Lord of hosts. For the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the Lord's house. For I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first said the Lord. Ezra chapter 3. Ezra chapter 3. Verse 11. They stand together by court in praising and giving thanks to the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Now one more scripture in Psalm 118. Verse 26. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We are blessed throughout of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord with us, showed us right. trying to sacrifice with four beams of the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Now may God just bless the reading of his precious word, and I want to leave this little word with you as a sort of motto to take along with you, that by faith you may enable your friends to be strengthened and encouraged in view of the days that are ahead. David is a prophet indeed that uses that expression in that 16th chapter of 1 Chronicles. It's part of several portions of Psalms which he had gathered together on this occasion, a special occasion, representing the victory that had been his. Not only the victory over Goliath, but the victory over all his enemies. Rest brought to the land, David anointed and set upon the throne of the law. And then the ark of the law was restored back in the midst of God's people in the tent that David had prepared for it. And God had manifested his presence once again in the midst of his people. David indeed rising in the spirit of thanksgiving and rejoicing in the Lord. You notice this 16th chapter of 1 Chronicles. Read it as you like. It'll lead out your soul in appreciation of the Lord. It'll lead out your soul in apprehension of his goodness. Where the midst of that you might come. But there is a clarified atmosphere of God's presence. He approached intelligently. And he proffers unto the Lord that which indeed he has in life. Notice he indeed proffers the intelligent man unleavened bread, a heart young and tender in milk, and prepares it to sit down there by the tree and have communion with the Lord. And then it is the Lord that goes from a great a promise. My promise to you, Abram, is going to be fulfilled. My promise to you is going to be fulfilled. And God did fulfill it. And Isaac was born. And after the Lord had gone away from Abram's house, what Sarah? Judgment is coming upon Sarah. I want you to notice the Lord said, in that 17th verse, shall I hide from Abram that thing which I do? What a remarkable statement of God. Here's a man that he counts his friend of God, and is in touch with God. And it seems as if God would not act without counsel with him. The secret of the Lord is to them appeared. Abram was in the fear of God. And thus God feels, I will, I must. If don't waver, that thing comes to me. He commends Abram here. He says, I know Abram, that he will order his house, that his children will obey. Not only does Abram fear the Lord, but I want you to notice the power of the influence in a man's life. That's something today that we need to take into account. The power of a man's life and his influence in his own home. In the measure you and I are living and walking in our own home in the fear of God, there will be a measure of which it will have an influence. Of strength, of respect. The wife will reverence her husband and respect his wife. The children will reverence their father and indeed acknowledge his father. They'll be very careful how to speak about their parents. Indeed they will. But alas, today, how glibly the talk. How despising that the children oftentimes talk about the father and mother.
What about your body? Or the other thing?
There'll be a rule in that hope. There'll be authority in that hope. Not just pocket, but garment. In the fear of God. The bowed knee, the word of God read, will have its influence. And a berry upon the cross. And there'll be blessing and judgment will be brought with that hope. By virtue of the covenant of the heart. What a contrast we can see and draw in the life of Lot, the nephew who had gone down into it. We find that in the close of this chapter, this great act field revealed to Abraham, the seek of the Lord, what does he do? He follows the Lord to that great fair. He bows before him. And six times he pleads, as far as it is. Only 10 unrighteous people in the city. If there be only 10 righteous people that say, would he say? Love it. Abraham struck the whole God. But God went beyond Abraham. And he brought and dragged out Lot and his 2 daughters out of the city of Sodom. Lot knew nothing about it. He was in the world. He was engrossed with the world. His mind was filled with the world. You're sitting as a judge in the gate, a political position, popularity. Dear children of God, let us take a walk. If you and I go in for worldly things, aggrandizement of the worldly other things of the world, to gather things for ourselves, that we might make it comfortable for ourselves, make it easy for ourselves, as you've already been here. Or perhaps that we might even have more to do for the Lord. Let us beware of your friends in that great time. The devil would lose them. The Lord will indeed supply that which he'll give to you in years of steward. But we in turn may give again unto the Lord. And if it's just given to your friends, it'll go up before the Lord acceptably as a people. But that which is taken out of the world and it's proper. And all times, dear friends, I question the very way to which you say. Is it acceptable? I promise. The widow's might was measured, dear friends, by the Lord Jesus. But more than all of us. And the widow's might. God's servants and their customers. 25 cents put in the hand. Has been the widow's mite, if you will, or a brother's mite, all that could give, but it met the need for the service. You have to bow the knee at that. Yes, tell about sisters and tell the thing. Put a last amount into the box. Have nothing wherewith to go home with. And yet on the way they went, dear friends, they picked up the thing. But here's Abraham. He gets a place as an intercessor. He's let into the secret of them all. And he can lay hold of God concerning such and concerning his destiny. Dear children of God, you and I were in the seek of the Lord today. We are brought into the same place as intercessors. For a poor godless one. For unsaved loved one. I wonder how much time we spent in the presence of God laying hold of us. I wonder. The Apostle Paul in tears, plead to your friends for the unsaved, for his own brother. Plead for the restoration of souls. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself wept tears as he was over Jerusalem. Wept tears over Jerusalem as he thought of the doom that was sent for him. Last I want to turn to is found in Hebrews chapter 12. This I say. Hebrews chapter 12. Pardon me, chapter 11. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had come to you, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses was a man of God. The servant of the Lord we've been hearing that. He was a man that indeed knew fellowship with God. And shall I say, I believe I can say without any cocky contradiction, there was no man so privileged in nearness to God as was Moses. God empowered Moses to do things that he empowered no other man to do. God raised up Moses not only to offend the time of his birth, but he raised him up again to great place and power. As we see, he was led into the city. 40 years he spent down in Egypt, learning all the wisdom of the Egyptians in word and deed. He got a good education, the very best there was to be got. But all the while Moses, while down in the palace, was in communion with God. And God communicated to him his mind, and God revealed to him his secret. And when the time came that Moses come to years, as we read here, when he has come to years, about 40, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This chapter here is, I believe, a picture of the judgment of Christ. Lot's name's not mentioned. God apparently very kindly left his name out. Nothing to say about Lot, he did by him. There is others who have it. But Abram stands out as a man of faith. And Moses was a man whom God taught and God spake to in the midst of that godless place, even the palace of Egypt. In the midst of all the merriment and the enlightenment and progress that was going on in Egypt, for it was the leading nation of that day. But God has exercised Moses' heart. And when he came to years of accountability, years of 40 years to read, he refused. A definite conviction in his soul. He said, no, no, no. And he found his battle. What made him do that?
The secret of the Lord of Israel.
He in him who is invisible. He in the end of all things. The judgment is going to come upon Egypt. Seeing further than that,
he had respect and recompense for the Lord.
He had a far-flung vision and faith. The secret of the Lord doth motivate him. The great secret of the Lord doth begot a conviction in his soul to refuse to recall the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Notice something more. Choosing rather to suffer affliction of the people of God and enjoy the pleasure of sin from him. He made it definite. One may refuse, dear friends, many things that are evil and corrupt. And choose many things, dear friends, that are good and commendable. And refuse many things, dear friends, that are evil, I should say. But to make a definite choice.
That's
a choice to cast his lot with God's people. A despised, a downtrodden people. Turn his back on the honors and the riches and all the glory that is connected with the palace and being the son of Pharaoh's daughter and to identify himself with a downtrodden people, with a despised people. What comfort was?
Not the part of this world. But he chose, my dear,
rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, I'd like to impress this upon the hearts of young people today. There must be a definite turning away from that dear place which is sin and evil and of the world today. We've been taken out of the world not to be of it whilst in it. You and I don't belong, dear friends, to the people of the world today. We do not belong, dear friends, to the associations of the world today. We must come out from amongst them and separate ourselves from them and refuse association with them. Refuse, dear friends, indeed, anything of those products that you bestow upon. Laurels that they might put upon. It's not the word. You never find Moses getting any letters after his name, do you? But there's a definite choice. A path to take. A course to follow. The truth of God to hold. A stewardship committed to us. And there must be a choice made. A definite choice. Then it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. The reproach of Christ, not merely a reproach for Christ. But the reproach is of Christ. That means complete identification. Taking your place with a rejected Christ outside your friends, the world and all its religion and all its social life and its politics. Identification with the law of Jesus Christ. Outside of it. That's where God wants his people. And that's where God would lead us all to take that place outside. Taking none of the names, dear friends, that Christendom bestows upon the very association to this. But one name alone to identify. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved. The secret of us then gain in life, he had respect unto the recompense of the Lord. Is looking beyond the sea, looking above it, and what a reward Moses had. The Lord, at the end of his journey, he buried him. Then we see, after all, he's brought forth in the scene of glory. Where is he? In the Mount of Transfiguration. To see him there identified with Elijah. Another distinguished servant of the Lord, whom God marked out as revealing his truth, identified with the Lord Jesus Christ in that glorious state. Dear children of God, for you and for me, there's something far better than this poor world as what was the reward and recompense. There is the crown that can be the crown that are put before us, the reward that are put before us as God's people. Let us relinquish all our hold upon the things of time and space. Those things that seem too important to the natural man. Let us lay hold of those things that seem small to the natural man, but are eternal. Real riches. The real glory that never shall fade. The seek of the Lord is with them that fear him, and to such as. And to them will he show the Lord.